I had a wet jumper. I'm a cold nigga, hit a soulmate all summer. Bitch, hit my phone asking for money, yeah, wrong number.
All right. What's good, everybody? It's your boy, G Murd. This is G Nice TV. And I'm back with another episode of the You Heard Me podcast. And, man, today we got a special guest, man, from New York City. He just dropped his album last night. You feel me? At Daydreaming. You guys better go cop that. It's fire. It's my boy C4 Bernard. What's good,
man,
family?
How you doing, bro? Appreciate you having me.
Man, you already know. So the album is out. Talk about the album, man. Well, how do you feel now that it's off, you know, that's out to the world?
Now, you know, my thing was I've been sitting on it for a while because I finished recording all of it late May. But I had some songs I had done since February. So I just been sitting on it and waiting and waiting. I've been listening to it. I just wanted to get it out. And now, like, the anxiousness of what's going to happen next. Like, how's it going to do? So it was first wanting to get it out. And now it's like, all right, how do we get it big as possible? So it's just nonstop.
Yeah. So what was the difference with the progress from this tape and the old one, Birds? Because Birds was like the introduction. It was like introducing you to the game. And you have a few records on there that's fire too. I went back to take a look at that tape, and it seems very different. This one seems more personal.
Yeah.
So talk to me, man. What was the progress that you, you know, what was the whole, what you put into this? What was the whole process of going into this to deliver this project?
So Birds was more like of what we were going through at that moment and just issues I saw within the community, you know? And then Daydreaming was more, you know, I touched on certain subjects, but mainly it was more my own stuff. So I spoke about the community. I listed all the issues I saw. And then I just listed for this project was more just of my issues and like what's going on with me. So that's basically, you know, I wanted it to be more like Birds. It sounded like Birds was a concept project, but it kind of sounded like one long song in a way. That everything kind of sounded like production-wise, everything was very similar. Subject matter, a lot of it was similar. And then for this one, I wanted something where it's like, I wanted something for the hip-hop heads. I wanted something that you could probably party to. I wanted something girls would like. I wanted it to be stupid. I wanted something personal and be, you know, some deep storytelling. This one got something for everything.
When you say for the hip-hop head, like, bro, I ain't gonna lie, I hear it in the music. Yeah. You are definitely lyrical, bro, and your storytelling is incredible. And that's why I like the tape. I texted Jeff, your manager, when he had sent me the private link before the album came out. And I was hearing it, bro, that intro.
Yeah, man.
Snapped on that shit. That was a good way to let people know. Like, that was a good introduction to let people who didn't hear your previous tape to let them know, like, okay, this dude's coming. Like, he got some shit. And then the fact, and what I like about you too is that you're bringing real rap back to New York in a sense. Like, no disrespect to all the mainstream artists out there, the underground. Right now it's like the big drill scene going on. And that's popping and that's fire, you know, no disrespect. But when I hear you rap, I think of niggas like Benny the Butcher and West Side Gunn and, you know, Conway the Machine. Like, you are on that level as far as like rapping and storytelling and being lyrical with your shit. You're a lyricist.
I think that's
what's dope about you coming up on the underground is that you don't forget what hip hop is in NYC. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, man. That's what I grew up on. Like, I grew up on, like, you know, I was always the old head of my friend group. Everybody was listening to, like, you know, the drill. But even, like, 2016 drill was different, you know. Like, it was a different type of, you know. And, like, everybody used to make fun of me because I would be listening to older stuff. But that's what hip-hop is, you know. And, you know, don't get me wrong. The intro was important to me because, like, and how I started off the project because I was doing a TikTok thing, right? So it's like, I popped off with, you know, the first one was Mountain, which was more of a motivational song.
Yeah.
But I did Sign, which is a pop song. I did In My Hands, which is a pop song. So, and then, you know, respectfully too. But I wanted to be like, if you met me, a lot of people found out about me because of Sign. But me personally, that's not me. Like, that was to go viral.
Yeah, that was the one you did with Prince Smith, right?
Yes, sir. Shout out to Prince Smith.
Yeah, that was a good record. So I want to get into that TikTok thing real quick. You said on track one on the intro, obviously on Daydreaming, you said something between the lines of depending on TikTok to blow up.
Yeah.
Why like obviously for those who don't know, you know, C4 when he had released Birds right after that, he had a dedicated fan base because he was going crazy doing freestyles on TikTok, you know, and he had a following base that started paying attention, which led to the New York Yankees, Tampa Bay Rays, Bleacher Report, and more platforms, big platforms. They started posting you. They reached out to you and all that other stuff. You know, talk about that specific line on that record and talk about what happened with that TikTok situation.
So my thing is, I'm going through this right now, actually. Like, so TikTok is very algorithmic based, right? And it's basically luck. It's like you can have X amount of followers, but the number of followers you have are not going to necessarily see that you have something coming out or the video you just posted. And it's like, so I could have 50,000 followers, 40,000 followers, but get a video with 200 views. And it's just like, so like that's my biggest platform. And it's annoying because it's like, I have to rely on a video going big so people can see that I got something coming out. Because Instagram, you don't have a smaller following on Instagram, you know. But TikTok is what made me, you know, keep going.
And I think it's perfect timing, too.
What happened?
It's perfect timing, too, because you started utilizing the platform at the time where it was at its peak.
Yep.
You know what I'm saying? While, right at the time when a lot of people started hopping on that shit. And I think that was around the time, too, when we was during COVID. Right.
Yep. I was in the house. I'll wake up, eat breakfast, whatever, write a freestyle, try to memorize it. TikTok. That was my day.
Yeah. And the whole world they stayed still during that time and they paid attention. So, you know, I won't even say it's luck, bro. That was just your opportunity right there, which led to, you know, you doing what you're doing now and taking it to higher heights. So, What got you interested in making music? You know, you talk about growing up and being the old head, and you know what I'm saying, around your friend group. So talk about your interest in making music and what age were you when you started?
All right, so I've always, as far as I can remember, you know, being 4 years old, screaming out G-Unit in my house, you know, like I was big on 50 Cent, big on DMX. I was like 4 years old. And that's my first memory of hip hop, honestly, those two people. And I just always loved it, you know. And then as you grow, I started doing my research going back in time, even before that, the Jay-Z's, the Nas. Then I went before them, the KRS-One's, the Rakim's, and you even go before that. So like, you know, I just became a student of the game. And I started wanting to take it serious when I saw people like J. Cole, saw people like Kendrick. Well, Good Kid, Mad City in particular was the one where it's like, all right, because I loved 50, I loved DMX. I couldn't really relate it to in terms of I'm not out there shooting people. Like, but a lot like the Kanye West, I could still do this rap thing. And I could relate to a lot of other people. There's a whole demographic of people that could relate to me, you know? So, and that's what made me. And then, so, you know, I was making music, little mixtapes in my college and whatnot, but, it wasn't until I started doing TikTok because Jeff, I was going to quit. After Birds, I was going to quit. I'm like, you know, I'm not seeing the growth I wanted. And my manager, Jeff, was like, make a TikTok. He's been saying make a TikTok. And if I could go back in time, I would have made it when TikTok was brand new. He probably would have been way up now. But I made a TikTok. And then now I'm taking it serious.
Okay. And when you say, like, being influenced with, you know, you named a lot of guys out of, you know, New York and stuff like that, right? And you had Kendrick in there. You know, what intrigues you being from New York and hearing somebody like Kendrick? He has a total different sound, bro. Like, that's the West Coast, you feel me? And then, you know, in the East Coast, they take that rap stuff serious. You know what I'm saying? But I could see the little you know, the ties because, you know, Kendrick claims to be the king of New York. And,
yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Maybe because he's such a lyricist and being from the West Coast is more of a gangster rap type of scene. And he fits more in this category of being a lyricist. And obviously New York is known for that. So, you know, how important is it being an upcoming artist out of New York and sticking to that, I would say that blueprint?
See, I wanted to be
the KRS-One and Jay-Z's and things like that.
You see, my favorite artist, because Kendrick's my favorite. Like, Kendrick is my GOAT. I got him as the GOAT. Like, that's my thing with Kendrick. A lot of my favorite artists, you can't really tell. Like, you maybe up their first project, but you really can't really tell where they're from based off of the music. Kendrick doesn't sound like, there's a difference between a Kendrick and a YG. YG, you know, West Coast.
Yeah, you know,
Kendrick, you could be like, he could be from anywhere. J. Cole's like that. Like, if I heard his accent, I would have never thought he was from the South. So, like, I want to be one of those artists where it's like, you know, I'm from New York, but I'm not going to always have the boom bap stuff. I'm going to experiment. I'm going to do different things. I'm just going to keep it true. Kendrick, you mentioned Kendrick, he's a student at the end of the day. If you listen to his interviews, his inspirations is not just West Coast artists. He's going to name the Jay-Z's, the Biggies, you know, the Andre 3000s, I kind of, because I'm not just a strictly East Coast, like a lot of my inspirations are from the East Coast, but as well as the West, you know, like Kendrick Lamar is my favorite artist. He's from Compton, you know, Andre's in my top five. He's from Atlanta. So I'm just a student, you know, I like to take what I like from each region, put it in my own stuff, but I'm not gonna lie, like I'm biased towards New York. Like I'm always happy with New York. Like I'm out LA for the first time, and I saw somebody driving, and he was blasting. I'm like, oh, this is so different. Like he was it was so LA, like the type of music he was listening to. I didn't even know who it was, but like it's different.
Now you talk about having a different style. You don't want people to guess where you're from. You put out 4 singles before to anticipate the rollout and then the album release, right?
Yeah.
All 4, in a sense, are different. You said it like yourself, Sign. That's a pop record.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? And then the other ones, you have a different style, how you go about it. Was that your whole idea of the rollout? You wanted to put out different sounds to anticipate this project, or it was just like, okay, I need to put some out because, you know, I haven't had nothing out. And then as the album got close, you know, you threw those on there to, cause I see on the project, you have some of them as bonus tracks.
Yeah.
Except for 2 of them, which I would believe those are the singles for the project, which is Sign and Hands.
Sign and Respectfully were the singles.
Respectfully, yeah.
And In My Hands and Mountain with a bonus tracks.
Okay. Yeah, because I see Respectfully, that's the one you got with the music video on YouTube.
Yeah.
Yep. So, go ahead.
I made In My Hands and Mountain a bonus track simply because Mountain was the first song I made after TikTok blew up a little bit. So that song is always going to have a special place. And In My Hands was more, I made that. And when you go back to sound, Mountain is very true to, like, you know, the origins of hip-hop, you know, classic hip-hop, Mountain Part 2. In My Hands, so before In My Hands, I did release a song called Dennis Rodman. So I tried to really, on some real hip-hop stuff, like, that one is more aggressive, heavy on the trap drums. I mean, heavy on the traditional drums. That one didn't do too well on TikTok, right? So if I'm gonna be honest, it flopped. I did so well on Mountain, and then Dennis Rodman completely flopped. So then I'm like, I gotta do something that's gonna be on TikTok. Then In My Hands came pop song, and then I was like, all right, I need another one. And then it was Signed, and that was just over conversation of like, I need a song that's gonna do well on TikTok. I see all these girls talking about astrology on TikTok, even in person. And the crystals has become a trend. Like, everybody's into
the chakras and all that stuff.
All of that stuff. So I'm like, this will work. And it ended up working. So it wasn't necessarily this project. I definitely came with different sounds just because I wanted something for everybody. Because this is kind of going to be an introduction to a lot of people for me. So, like, I wanted you to know I could rap. I want you to know I could write a hook. Like, I could actually, like, structure songs like a sign, you know?
Yeah.
And then I also want you to, you know, that's my main thing. You know, I didn't really think of regional things for this part. It was more of, I want something for everybody.
Yeah, and you did that real well with this one, bro. You know what I mean? You have a good all-around project and that I feel like is very diverse and a lot of people could mess with it. And just one thing I really do like about it, too, is that you, like you said, man, you want to have a different feel per record to let people know, like you said, you could write, you could do all this stuff, but you kept the story consistent top to bottom. And I think that's a real testimony to you on how you pay attention to hip hop, because not everybody could do that. Not everybody could make a full project and have different styles and try to keep it the same, like the story flowing from top to bottom. At some point, someone's going to feel it's going to go off because of the beat or maybe just the type of song that it is. They just might not know how to incorporate their storyline into that shit. But you did that, and that's respect. That's dope.
Thanks a lot.
So on looking back on the interlude, you mentioned take my people to levels we ain't surpassed yet. What I noticed is that you mentioned a lot your struggle in your music. So talk to me a little bit about what it was like for you growing up.
Yeah, man. I mean, you know, okay. So like, you know, it was me and my mom, you know. My father left when I was 4. You know, I know him and stuff, like, but like it was, you know, growing up, me and my mom, then my stepfather came a little later. But the way my mom always, like, she just made sure everything happened, you know. And like we didn't have it like that, but I still was spoiled. Like, you know, like I still out of all my friends, you know, I might not have had it when it came out, but I was gonna get it eventually. I knew mom dudes always made sure I had what I needed. And if I didn't have it, I was going, you know, like my mother, I credit her for a lot of stuff. And it's just like, we kind of grew up. She had me young. So it's like, I even got to see my mother grow up in a sense of like, you know, she starts, you know, we was in a small apartment, you know, water would cave down the ceiling sometimes, you know, we had a bad landlord, you know, sometimes we have heat, you know, sometimes, you know, my mother always, you know, and now we elevated, you know, you see her doing better and better to where, She made sure that apartment got fixed, right? And then after that, we moved to the suburbs in Staten Island, like when I was for high school. So, all right, we don't get out of here. And it's just her evolution of like starting off small, getting a better job, you know, doing what she had to do and making sure, you know, I've seen my mother have 2 jobs and go to college, you know. My mother just graduated last year. Like, she's been trying to go to school. Appreciate it. My mother's been trying to go to school since I'm a baby. And she finally finished last year. So, you know,
that's hard.
My mother is big. Like, I'm mad close with her. So that's how, you know. Yeah.
Well, hey, man, you did a good job, like I said, man, telling that story in the music. I'm very curious on one specific record, and I need to get clarification. Addiction.
Yeah.
You start off by saying, I forgot the month, but it was 1962. And then you went on and then you said I was born in 90 something. Yeah. So I was like, wait, is he talking about maybe a relative or a parent on that? Like, are you telling someone's side and then you're going to telling your side? Like, what is that about?
So addiction. I wanted to compare somebody who was affected by, first of all, this story is not based on a particular person.
Okay.
But okay, I wanted to take a generic story of somebody who was affected during the crack era.
That's
how they were going to jail for, you know, all the crack laws, and you know, they'll label you crackhead or, you know, put you in jail for years. But it's really a sickness, like, you know, and how like the media portrayed it. It was, you know, and then so that's the first verse. And I told you basically somebody, you know, a typical story, you know, how you grow up in a rough condition. And you know, and what led him to do crack, right? So I wanted to give second verse with somebody who was affected by the heroin epidemic that's going on now in the suburbs, and how it's more of like they weren't sending them to jail. We're gonna help them. We gotta make sure they, you know,
rehab and stuff like that.
Yeah, you know, and it's like they're both basically the same thing.
but they care about one more than the other.
Because one affected the black and brown community and the other one is the suburban community. That's the only difference.
I like that. Now that you're giving me clarification, I can see what you're talking about because I still have the lyrics in my head. And that's crazy because that's true, bro. We live in that world right now. Like, we live in a world where, like, they want to destroy our communities, you know what I'm saying? And like, you see it for time to time, like, all these mass shootings, when it's a white kid, oh, he's sick, put him in a rehab facility. But we get, when it's black or brown people, it's, they're criminals, we're thugs, put them locked up, and things like that. So I totally, I fuck with that, man. And I'm going to go spin that record one more time, hear it again, because, you know, now that you give me that clarification, I'm going to get deep with it when I hear it again. I told you off camera, Caroline, that record is fucking fire.
Appreciate it.
When Nita Bean, that's her name?
Nita Bean.
Nita Beans. Okay, cool. So what's your relationship with Nita Beans? Because it seems like you guys have a chemistry when you guys work together. And then when I look at Bird's, the Bird album, you guys have like three records on there. So you brought Nita back onto this one. So what was that about? How's your relationship with that person?
Nita's part of the home team, you know? So basically, like, my manager, both my producers, Zenaida, and myself, we all went to this, we all met in college.
Okay.
So Zenaida started off, you know, we would see each other. I acknowledged she was dope. She would not acknowledge I was dope. It was always love. Same thing with the rest of the team. Zenaida started off, she's been engineering, so she mixed the project along with Dion. He's as well, Dion home team as well. So before I was C4 Bernard, I was just C4 made a mixtape. She would engineer my projects for me. And that's how we, you know, built the little relationship. And then, you know, we decided that let's just be a team. I'm working with, you know, very few producers outside the team. I have my two. You know, I want to work with Nita and Dion as the engineers. You know, we also shout out Jake Maddox. He mastered the project, but you know, that usually that would be them, but you know, we just needed it fast. So, and then, you know, Jeff was the manager, and then that we just became, you know, home team. And it's like all of us, it was supposed to be like a cycle, you know. We got me dropping, and you know, then we focused the team on her. And then, you know, so, but Zenaida Burrs, you know, she was a lot on it a lot more. She had, you know, even if it was ad libs, you know, she would do it. So, but this song, Caroline, was funny because we were in Dion's crib. And so we're just going through beats. And I'm like, I really like this one. And she really liked it too. Cause we went through like 20. We didn't like most of them, but we couldn't agree on them. So this one we agreed on. I'm like, yo, what if we tell a story about you, my girl, let's say if I have a girl cheating on me and it ends up being with you. And we're like, that could be funny. And like,
that should really happen sometimes though. In real life, for real.
And then, you know, so I'll be like, she was like, that could be funny as hell. And then we thought even a visual for it could be fun. It is a funny concept. Because that's more present in the 90s where you would see some stupid stuff like that on songs. You don't really like, I'm over here making fun of myself, talking about Shorty got me insecure right now. Because, you know, like, I know it's a dirty record too. But yeah, that's how that came about.
Nah, yeah, I like that record, and it made me want to go back to hear your other album and hear the ones with her on too, because that's how dope she is as well. So I'm intrigued to, you know, do my homework on that person too. I want to know more about Nita. All right, so you mentioned on Daydreaming, you obviously said you went to college, you guys met, and that was actually as dope because I'm going into that right now.
Yeah.
You said on Daydreaming, you went to college, and instead of taking notes, you was writing rhymes on the paper and stuff, right? And you was you was doing that stuff, right? So talk about that. How'd you get into college, and talk about how you met, you know, so obviously you said you already met Nita, but when you went to college, was that when you really felt like, okay, I don't want to do this shit, I want to do rap? And you start forming your group and your team right there in that moment?
So I've always, so that line in particular, even in high school, junior high school, I was always into rap. I was always into rap, as far as I can remember. Like, my mother told me, like, people ask, I'm 5 years old, you want to be a lawyer, doctor, you know, something like that. I'll be like, I want to be a rapper. And they look at you like, oh, you want to be a rapper? Like, another one want to be a rapper. But since I could remember.
Yeah.
But that line, so in college, you know, I graduated in May. Like, I'm almost done. Like, I'm going to finish, you know. I'm right at the finish line, so I might as you know. But, like, yeah, you know, you realize it's like, yo, like, I need it because, God forbid, this music stuff don't work out. I got to have a plan B. And, you know, I don't want to be broke, you know. So, but at the same time, it's just like, I don't want to be doing this, you know. I don't want to work at a 9-to-5. Like, I want to be doing what I love. So, you know, that's where that came from. That's really the concept of daydream. It's just like, I'm in class right now, dreaming about something else. You could be at work, dreaming about something else. You could be, you know, working at Wendy's. I used to work at Wendy's in high school. I'm over here flipping burgers, and I'm thinking to myself, like, damn, I don't want to be here. Like, I want to be doing something else. So
trust me, I know what that feeling is like, bro, because, you know, I just graduated this past May over here in Minnesota. Appreciate you. And I was working, like, two jobs, doing side hustles. And every night, I was in the library editing content, posting shit. You know what I'm saying? So I know what it takes, bro. This night where you're like, fuck, I don't want to do my homework. I'd rather just do this shit. You know? And this was the night where I did that. I skipped the motherfucking homework, and I just did what I wanted to do. But it's a fine balance, bro. And the more you stay down with this shit, the more doors are going to open for you. You're going to knock them doors down, really. Because at the end of the day, like, ain't nothing wrong with finishing college and still pursuing your goals. You feel what I'm saying? Like, you look at J. Cole, DaBaby, Megan Thee Stallion, a lot of these artists actually are finishing their college degree or going back to school. And because it's, as much as we love music or entertainment, it's bigger than this. You want to be looked at as an entrepreneur at the same time or a business person. So when you excel in the music scene, you want to venture off and do other things, but you want to be educated doing it. You feel what I'm saying? So it's like, it's a good thing that you say you're going to stick it out and finish that, man. That's very important. So on that same record, you mentioned a group of people, a bunch of names. And you said that all it took was for them to watch your live and stay down with you. Name those people. And why are those people so important to you in your life right now?
Yeah, man. So when TikTok started, once you get 1,000 followers, they allow you to go on live. So I would go on live every day for a month straight. I was doing it consistently, you know, more than a month, like, you know, but like consistently every single day, 8 p.m., I would, like, if I was out doing, helping her with, like, carry a grocery, I'd be like, yo, mom, let's go to the supermarket at 6, so we'd be back by 8, so I'm over. And I would just freestyle every day. People like Dreadhead, you know, that's a TikTok username. People like Mother of Mankind, you know, that's another one. They've been from the beginning, and they just, you know, those were the first people I could remember. Well, Dreadhead, they were really the first two that were like consistent, like, supporters, you know, that they joined every live. They was listening to the music. They were sharing the live to people. I would tell them, give me words to use to freestyle. Let's say I only had, like, some days I would have a lot of people in my life, but let's say some days I didn't have too much. One of them would have like a dictionary and just throw words and just keep throwing words. So, you know, those, you know, they show, like, you know, they were the first supporters that consistently that, you know, made me want to, all right, you know what? Let's do this.
Hell yeah. And honestly, bro, like, you're in a position right now where, like, you're doing it. Like, all you got to do is just continue to apply that pressure. You know, obviously, you got your publicist. We all talk, you, me, your manager, and your publicist. Like, that shit is dope to see that you're in college, you're pursuing music, and you have a team. You're moving the right way, bro. You're moving in a good direction. Half of these motherfuckers out here, they don't know jack shit of how to put a team together. They think, I'm going to have my homie do this and my other homie do that. You got to put a team together with expertise if you want to seriously go somewhere with this. And if you don't have the resources, you know, put people in position to have knowledge or go do their homework so they could, you could be, you know, trustworthy in them to make business decisions for you. You know what I mean? So it, I like that's what I like about you and your team. You guys are moving the right way.
Yeah, Jeff, man, I met, the thing about Jeff, like, I met him in college, not as a manager. He was a musician, like he was the dude playing, he was a saxophone player, real, he was nice. Right. And I met him, he just showed me genuine love. He would come to studio sessions and just, you know, show love, because he was best friends with Zenaida. They're best friends. So, like, that's how, it was all kind of, like, connected always. And then, you know, shout out to Mima too and Next Step Talent. She also went to our college too. And, you know, it's all connected. So, like, yeah. I'm like, you know, we all trust each other, you know, all that good stuff. So, yeah.
One key thing, if for those watching and listening, he said we all connected through college, man. That, you know, same with me, bro. Like, when I graduated and I started doing my shit, all the people I started doing my business with and going up and shit, they're all alumni from the committee. So it's dope though. But before we close it out, man, you said Kendrick was your top five. You know we cannot end this shit without hearing who your top five is. And this shit's gonna be hard for you. Why? Because you are from New York, where there's a lot of talent.
So, yeah.
Top five, man. And it doesn't have to be
an
order.
All right. So Kendrick and Hov always flip-flop as my GOAT. And some days I'll feel it's Kendrick. Because I feel like Kendrick is a newer artist. Well, now he's a little, like, it feels new, but he's probably a decade in. But, like, he has enough classic out. He already has the credentials, and he's lyrically it's Kendrick and Hov. And then, you know, so Kendrick, Hov, that's two of them. Andre.
Okay.
Biggie. Okay. And Nas. And Nas.
Okay. All right, you got some fire shit. I listen.
That's my five. Technically, it's more tricky. Because then I got, like, you know, because then you got that bottom five where it's like, it could be a lot of people in that bottom. But the top five is just like, those five.
So who's your bottom five then?
Oof. Scarface.
Okay, Scarface is five.
Lil Wayne, this is bottom five. I'm not, no, Lil Wayne is there.
Okay. He like top, bottom five. He like the middle.
Yeah, like there's somewhere, damn, I'm missing them. DMX is in my top 10.
Okay.
I got two more. I feel like I'm missing a big one. Damn. Pun.
Pun is fire. Yeah. Terror Squad.
Rakim.
Rakim. Okay, well shit. You got some shit. Rakim is, a lot of people like Rakim. Like even Snoop Dogg. You know, you hear Snoop all the time talk about Scarface, Rakim. You know, I feel like a lot of West Coast people, yeah, we have our own sound. But at the same time, like, New York was holding it down for a long time before Cali did. So
New York originated. Like, it started in New York. Then it came to Cali.
Exactly. Yep. So like,
My fault. Not to cut you off. J. Cole got to be up there, too. And then 11, 10. I got to take somebody out. But anyway, continue.
So J. Cole, five. It's top five.
Top 10, 10, 10, 10, 10.
Top 10?
J. Cole up there. True. Continue, though.
No, but yeah, like I was saying, though, when New York was, you know, when they had the crown for a long time, a lot of the guys in the West was incorporating that, you know, that style lyricism with gangster rap. And I think that's, you know, that was the early days of Death Row and all, you started hearing all that stuff. So I think it's really unique how music across cultures and do that type of stuff, man. It's fire. But hey man, before we get off this podcast, and I just want to say congratulations on officially releasing your second album. I think this project is for sure one of your best ones, and I think a lot of people are gonna resonate to this one, and they're gonna continue to follow your journey. I think you have a very bright, successful future. And you just got to, like I said, continue to apply pressure, man. But before we hop on, man, is there anything you want to let the fans know as far as, like, You want to shout out anybody, anything, you know, you have the floor.
So Daydreaming, you know, the project is out now everywhere. You know, C4.Benard, B-E-N-A-R-D on Instagram, TikTok, all that good stuff. I want to shout out the team. You know, I got my manager, Jeff, Tamima, Next Step Talent. You got James 50, Andrew, or Hugo is, you know, that's two in-house producers. We got Dion and Nida is the engineers. I want to shout out Piper Page, Prince Smith, Johnny Two Phones, Hunter G, Jake Manny for being a part of the project as well. What else? Yeah, man, we got a lot of new videos coming for the project. I'm definitely, we're going to make Addiction a movie. Addiction is going to be like, we're going to make that a movie. So
I can't wait, bro.
Now we're going to start dropping more. Like, it took a while for this project, but now we're just going to keep it rolling.
Hey, everybody, I appreciate y'all for tuning in to this week's podcast, man. And once again, congratulations to C4Benard on his release on the album Daydreaming. Make sure you guys go cop that shit. I'm going to put the description where you can find socials and everything down on the description box. But yeah, man, tap in. It's your boy G Merrick, and we out you.